Welcome to the Kismet Collection, a series of conversations and guided practices meant to support you in your awakening. If you've landed on this episode, it's not coincidence. It's Kismet. My name is Riley Webster. I am your host, and let's begin. Hello, friends. I hope that you're having a beautiful week so far. I don't know about you, but I am just loving the rain that we're getting on the West Coast right now. It feels like such a much needed reprieve of the heat. And it's been so nice to just nest and be in this creative space and kind of go into that yin energy. So it feels really, really nourishing for me. I hope you're also embracing wherever you are at. I'm super excited to share this conversation with you today. My amazing friend Caitlin Armstrong and I spoke all about the collective pain, sensitivity as our greatest gift, and our earthly calling. So it's very rich. I do want to just preface the conversation by saying we both identify as a woman and we speak about feminine energy. So please feel free to put your own definition of your identity in place of woman. And when we talk about femininity, we're speaking more so the energy of femininity. So that receptive, allowing, creative, pleasurable, joyful energy rather than gender specific. So I just want to preface that conversation by saying that please interchange whatever wording feels best for you and for your experience. And I hope that you enjoy this conversation. We will have more information about our six-week exploration that we're launching in October very soon. So this is just a little sneak peek about kind of what we're going to be discussing, what we're going to be bringing to you soon. And I hope that you enjoy. Read that one more time.
Okay. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so you must know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy.
Oh my God.
Khalil Gibran.
He is the bomb.
I know.
Oh, I love that poem and then so much.
It says here, the Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh was asked by his students, what do we most need to do to save our world? And he said, and this part always makes me like emotional, what we most need to do is to hear within ourselves the sounds of the earth crying.
Oh my God, I just got full body shivers. Wow. Well, that's like getting to know our pain as Mother Earth's pain too, because we're not separate, right?
Yeah. In fact, the way in which we're not wanting to feel our pain is mirrored in the way that we're ignoring the amount of pain we're causing to other people and the planet and other animals and species, right?
Denying it.
Totally.
Avoiding it.
So we're denying our own pain, and right, in turn we're denying what's happening right in front of us. And it's such a...
Yeah.
It's so clear, right? When you open your eyes to it.
And we're all such deeply sensitive beings, right? Like no matter who you are, we are all sensitive. So we all do feel that pain, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've spent a lot of my life trying not to feel that.
Oh yeah. I've spent a lot of my life thinking my sensitivity is a problem to be solved and something that should be fixed. And any inkling of anxiety or depression is like shameful, when in reality it's a testament to my big heart and my ability to tap into the collective pain.
Well, right? And it's such a healthy response, right? Like,
yeah,
we should feel anxious about mm-hmm. what's going on. We should feel depressed to the point of like undeniable sorrow. I know. I'm so grateful for the experience of becoming a mom more recently, because of that awakening to how much pain I continually turned away from. And for some reason growing a human, like, I don't know, she like takes up all this space in my being, and like our souls are so intertwined in that time. It's like there is no room in here, yos, for your stored, you know, whatever, stored past, stored trauma. Let's move that stuff. I started crying on the regular when I got pregnant. And
which is beautiful for you.
Totally. I mean, you know me, I've been a bit of a hard ass that way. But now, like, I feel so liberated. And as I open to my pain within the group, within the presence of others, I also saw that it was like mirrored, that everyone else had this stored holding of pain.
Yeah.
They didn't want to show, they didn't want to feel that they were vulnerable, or, you know, sometimes saying out loud, like, it really scares me the future that my daughter's going to have. It really scares me to think about what we're going to do collectively in our environmental and global situation. And just to have that mirrored back, like, the fears are all there. Oh, okay. And we can stop, like, blaming each other and pointing the fingers and be like, so now what? Now what?
Yeah. You know? That's why group work is so powerful, because you have an experience in the group, and most people will resonate with that experience, because again, it's that mirror, right? And being able to have a community where you can show up to, that's not, you know, you needing to uphold a certain performance or like level of self, and you can just show up as you are. That's been the teaching for me in group work, is that I don't have to be like, there's no best version of self. It's just who I am as I am in that moment.
Truest version
of self. Like, what is actually happening right now, and how can I be brave and share that, and then let that be received by other women, and then let them share too what's going on for them. And really, like, holding each other in that. I mean, it's funny. I've always had amazing girlfriends. And then to actually, I don't know, like, let those people in and let those people see me. Like, that true self, that emotion that is right there in the moment. I feel like it's revolutionized my relationship to women and femininity, and the relationship to my own femininity, because it's not repressing it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we are here to remember the wisdom that our femininity has to offer us. And it happens in community. Like, it's not like the masculine where you're alone in silence and stillness. The femininity wants its collective, right? Like, when we get together in our women's circles, it's amazing what comes through, and what feelings move.
Oh,
and
it's
the joy we celebrate within.
Yeah.
On the outside, like, kind of after usually a good few tears and upset and anger. But I find it fascinating the level of intuition that has heightened within myself as a mom and as a wife and as just a woman in this community, and how much more at peace I am with the unfolding of our world, because I don't know, I trust Mother Earth more, because I trust my own femininity more, because I trust my women's circle more. You know what I mean? It's so linked.
Yes, absolutely. I leave the women's circle sometimes feeling like a psychic woman.
You are.
I leave feeling just connected and just kind of tapped in. It's hard to explain, because I think, again, it's like spending more time with women, you start to see everyone's sensitivity. You start to realize, oh, I'm not crazy because I'm feeling this way. All these other people are in some way, in their own language, their own shape and form, feeling very similarly. And then I start to feel more kind of in reverence to my sensitivity. It's like, that's where it's at. That's where the magic's at. That's where any creation that's going to serve other people is going to be, in that sensitivity. And that is a gift.
Yeah. I just remember the one time one of the women that came was going through coming out of a really hard time. and had to have like a leave from work and was sharing how sort of embarrassed she is because she's like, I can list all the amazing things about my life. My partner's amazing and I have like this amazing setup, this amazing career. And yet I couldn't get out of bed and I couldn't face my life. And it was just like, she's like beating herself up. But instead of reaching out and like being like, hey, I'm going through this. Mm-hmm. It's like this prison of shame, you know, that you have to hide and be in that alone because it's not really socially accepted for us to, you know, be public with the fact that sometimes I know for myself, I want to just lie in bed for 3 days at a time. Like I get so low about what's happening in this world, the suffering that's out there, when I really feel like if I think about children not getting the love and support that they deserve and at all being harmed, I just can't like barely even breathe. You know what I mean? And when I let that in, it's like, yeah, of course I can't get out of bed for a few days, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, what a healthy response. And I feel like when she shared that, she had a moment of realization that, oh, I'm not alone, that I'm not the only person that has these experiences where I am in so much pain because this collective, we can't separate ourselves from. We are so interconnected. We are so interdependent. Mm-hmm. We are mutually causing our reality. And so to turn our backs from it really is just meaning we have to disassociate, we have to numb, we have to disengage. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so brave that she was able to say, like, I need a couple months off and I have to be at home and I have to like be with myself, and that she bravely showed up to the circle and shared those things and mm-hmm. was like, that's the kind of woman that we need in this future. We need all you out there to feel the intensity of this. I mean, compassion literally means to suffer with. I mean, when I think of compassion before, it was sort of like, try and have like a soft heart about it. Not like take on the pain mm-hmm. of what that other being is going through, whether it is a tree, a clear cut, a person, an animal species, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And to, you know, when we do feel our own pain and the pain of another or the pain of Mother Earth or, you know, all of this suffering, we have the opportunity to show up differently, right? We don't turn a blind eye, we go into it. Like that, there's that quote, the way out is through. We go through it, we feel it, we let it transform us so that when we, you know, can really, really tap into that feeling, we can come out on the other side with something to offer, with a way to be in community, a way to take care of our planet, a way to take care of each other, a way to take care of ourselves that is actual love and respect, not, you know, getting our nails done or whatever. I mean, that's okay too. But we have to feel that, right? So, you know, when people come to me and say like, you know, I've been feeling so anxious or I've been feeling so depressed or what have you, it's like, of course, of course. And that's the feminine too, right? That feminine energy is up and down and all over the place.
Well, we literally experience all four seasons every month within the like hormonal kind of landscape that is, you know, the ride of being on our cycle, right? And so to the way in which we try to pretend as if that isn't happening to fit into this like masculine kind of designed world. And again, not that all of that is bad. It's just that it's not honoring the truth of our experience and the truth of our power within when we are connected to the seasons of our monthly experience and the seasons of nature. And we rhythm with that. And we let that intuition guide us to make different decisions, to know when it's time to extrovert and be out there in the summer and introvert and reflect when it's the winter and slow down. And I think, you know, by acknowledging our feelings, it's like the first step to really honing our femininity and in turn our connection to the planet. And I always think about this term of like, I am whole. when I was in yoga, I was learning it from the perspective of me, like trying to figure out how I can be whole, me, Caitlin, right? But what I've actually come to understand is that I'm not whole without seeing myself as the interconnected being. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not alive without the air that the trees provide to me. I'm not alive without the waters, without the soils producing my food. And so I am literally of existence because of my natural world, mm-hmm. and my relationship to it. And then on top of it, I'm only joyful and like full of creative, playful, like wonder because I have people to share that with. Like, can you imagine being stuck alone on an island? So we're so interconnected. Think of your relationship to animals, like mm-hmm. how important they are to ground and, you know, surround ourselves with. Like, we talk all the time, the different animals that we see here on the island and mm-hmm. our dogs and cats. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're so blessed to have them around. This thing of being whole means that I have to be intimately aware that I am those things too. And my wholeness is me acting from a place that is loving in relationship to that interconnected truth, mm-hmm. right? Like, my pain points are GPS coordinates towards a purpose. I know I need to go in that direction and offer my heart. Yeah. But from the lens of wholeness and joy are only really true when in relationship. Relationship to Mother Earth, relationship to other people, other beings, mm-hmm. you know? I love that this topic kind of equalizes us all.
Yeah. Well, it's less about me and my needs and my goals and my individuality and my journey of climbing up a ladder to get to my destination. It's like, what is the point when we're not in relationship? Like, what is the point of all of that, if we, yeah, exactly as you're saying, if we can't share that and if we can't be in community and be held, because that's where our growing is, right? We only know who we are when we are in relationship. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we're kind of just this like feather blowing in the wind, mm-hmm. and there's not really any kind of ground to it, right?
And there's no mirror.
Exactly.
Yeah, as you say, to grow.
Yeah. Our relationship in any way shows us what our blind spots are.
Yeah, totally. Right? Oh, I always want to be like, oh, it's them and it's not me. Yeah. And it's like, oh no, there's, thank you for showing up. Thank you for reminding me the yes. pieces of myself that I push away.
Exactly. And then I think right now I notice what I need so much is to have my roots grow deeper so that I can grow higher, not wider, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, the more I connect to my own nature, so my own femininity, my own cycle, paying attention to how I feel throughout the month, actually honoring that, not listening and then disregarding it. The more I can do that, the more I feel connected to my body, connected to nature, connected to earth. And I feel like every time I act out of that place of actual love for my body, my roots grow deeper, and I'm able to I'm able to open my heart to feel what's going on because I'm rooted and I'm good, you know?
It's like you can spread your branches, your wings, your canopy mm-hmm. to support others from that place, like yeah. to provide shade for others or to provide like fruit for others. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you can't do that until you're rooted in yourself and your relationship to the earth, that we are of it. You know, mm-hmm. those two are so important, like knowing who you are, and you are only of it, of this existence because this earth exists to nourish you, just like your mom when you were newborn. Like, mm-hmm. thank goodness for all you moms out there. Like, I mean, so sleep deprived and, you know, doing that selfless, unconditional work of showing up no matter what for someone that, you know, can't give back at that time. But the giving is so abundant and generous.
Yeah.
You know, when we come to that cycle of giving and receiving, the way the trees are offering us oxygen, and we receive that as aliveness, literally.
Yeah.
And we give back our own CO2, which they breathe in. And it's this like natural innate cycle of generosity that's built into how we exist between moms and babies, between, you know, families, community. When we are in relationship harmoniously with the earth, when we are permaculturing beautiful landscapes, taking care of ecosystems and taking care of our neighbors, you know, without needing something in return.
Yeah, that's a big one. And I think when you're rooted, your cup is full, right? It's not full because you have this, this, and this. It's full, like you're able to be of service because your feet are in direct connection with the land, which is our home, which is our innate sense of belonging, right? And like that feeling, like we were speaking about yesterday, about belonging and a feeling I think a lot of us struggle with, of kind of where do I fit, where do I belong, who am I in relationship to the planet or, you know, to society. And I think the more that we can take any amount of space that you're available to, any amount of space to just connect a little bit deeper to the earth, which brings you immediately back to presence, right? Immediately back to presence, which is love, which is open-heartedness, which is not, you know, clouded by your past or with all the anxieties of the future. The more we can connect to the land and be present, the more we feel that we belong. And I think that's something that we're so missing right now. And I think it's such a shame, like how disconnected we collectively feel, especially, you know, during what's going on right now, COVID, how much we're, a lot of us are alone or, you know, don't have necessarily community to reach out to. But if we can connect a bit more to nature in any way, I think it really provides that sense of like, your body as home and your body as in relationship to all of nature and all of life.
Yeah.
Did that make sense? I just went on a stream of consciousness there.
I mean, like, that's why I'm like, washing over sense of belonging. Like, it's so true. I mean, I have spent a lot of my life feeling inherently unsafe. I don't know why. I live in like the most beautiful, wonderful place in the world. You know, that nervous system, fight or flight. I could say so many different little traumas when I was younger growing up, whatever are the reasons.
Yeah.
But since coming to this practice of like sitting in presence in nature and tuning into my interconnectedness, I instantly feel safe. I instantly feel like I belong. And then my nervous system, like, you know, unclenches or ungrips from that like need to be busy and go and hustle and prove that I'm enough, prove that I'm worthy, prove that my success is something that will allow me to keep being loved, right? I go out into the woods, I grow into this moment, and all of that anxiety, all of that striving just like dissipates, and I'm just available to my heart, and it's so joyful, it's so peaceful, it's so spacious. And I'm in awe of, you know, the conditioning, the programming sometimes that I so easily fall into. I feel like you know, I've spent so much time trying to get somewhere. And what I'm realizing, where I'm most joyful, is like in my garden with my daughter, like picking at the tomatoes and raspberries and peas, and spending time in my women's circle on Wednesday nights, and going down to the beach for an afternoon swim, and allowing for this bit more unscheduled fluidity to my life that isn't like pre-planned for the next 6 months. Waiting for that vacation, waiting for that retirement, waiting for something of the future that I can then finally enjoy my life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I wrote this line the other day. I don't know where this came from, but it was like, I think grandiose is going out of style. Can you tell me what you made for breakfast this morning?
I love that.
And it just speaks to my life right now, because it's funny, like, I've had a few people be like, so what have you been up to? And I don't have any answer. I'm like, I'm really just being present right now to, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, carving out time and space for those things that really nourish me. And what I'm realizing, what actually nourishes me, is so simple. It's so simple. But there's actually a lot of that in-between softness that I'm realizing is that's the joy, that's the sweet spot, right? That's the place where my nervous system is regulated and can be available to the beauty in the mundane and the beauty in simplicity, right?
Such a harmonizing of the masculine and the feminine within, yeah. Right? Like that's what that sounds like to me. It's yeah. That place in the middle where, you know, there's balance and there's respect and integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I resonate with that deeply. I feel like for so much of my, I mean, I spent 7 years thinking that I couldn't get pregnant, and we were in that adoption for 6 years, and I had a totally different, like, I'm a career woman and I'm going on this path. And then of course Ben and I were down at Burning Man and I got pregnant unexpectedly, and my whole life flips upside down because I thought I was adopting. At that point I'd become totally okay with where I was at, and don't get me wrong, there was a process to that, and it was sort of like the thing that made me be a value to this system, like the thing that I thought was what made me lovable and enough, now I couldn't really do. And I'm realizing after having Rosie that I don't want to go back to it, that it isn't actually me, this thing outside of me, what I do, mm-hmm. You know, like these kind of identities we take on, these facades. Like I am the yoga teacher and I am the traveler and I live in my motorhome, and you know, all these stories that there's something so much simpler, like you said. And I have way less. I don't need nearly as much. I find like that's what's fascinating. The more space I have, the more I get to just be myself and explore my curiosity the way that Rosie does. Mm-hmm. You know, like be in the wonder, like what do I want to work on? Like, what would be cool to do? And one of the things that makes me really joyful is spending time in nature, always has. Mm-hmm. Being in waters, different bodies of water, swimming wildly, you know. We do that quite often.
Wild swimming.
Yeah, wild swimming. Meaning that we're naked. And I just feel like we all have different reasons for being here, all have different purposes that are uncovered, but our joy is a big part of knowing who we are in service in this dynamic, in this reality right now.
Yes.
You know?
I think when we feel joy, it's something to really pay attention to as well. Like what is it in that moment or what you're doing that's giving that feeling, and how can you create more of that, and how can you let that guide you into the way that you are meant to serve the world, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm so excited about this exploration journey that we're putting out, because I think we're really getting people to, you know, not bypass the feeling and not skip over the surface and, you know, really come back to that feminine wisdom that's inside, that is always pointing us in the right direction, you know?
Yeah, not bypassing the truth of who we are, which is of the earth, mm-hmm. of each other, whatever your background is. And so that means I can no longer turn a blind eye to the clear cut up the street or to the homeless person on the street. I have a responsibility to show up to that pain. And how we will all show our, you know, service, our actions to contribute, I think will be very different, but that I can compassionately feel that suffering that is happening is the piece that is liberating my heart to experience more also the joy that it is to be alive, to be a person on this earth in this time where I mean, creatively and as a woman where we live, like mm-hmm. we get this freedom. Like I want to yeah. celebrate those things. I don't want to be ashamed, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think we have to go into our depths to come back to the surface and yes. then go into the depths and then come back to the surface, right?
Like constantly.
Yeah, it is constant. And again, it's not that we are a problem to be solved or anything like that. It's like we have to go deep and feel deep and then come back to joy over and over and over again. It's a spiral. So we always end up where we started, but with new awareness and understanding, and then we go again, and then we come back with new awareness and understanding, and then we learn a lesson again. And it's always coming back to where we started, but with kind of like, it's like we've transformed in that process and then have come back. And I think that for women to be able to do that work and then come back to that joy, I feel like that's just where our magic is, you know? I think joy is feminine too. Mm-hmm. Joy and pleasure, I think, is so beautifully feminine, which everyone has regardless of gender. But that embodiment, I think even just being in that is a gift to the world, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been such an honor being your friend.
Same with you.
And like this last year of like holding regular women's circles and having women to come together on a weekly basis to go there, to like go to those depths. There's something so much more supportive about that. And I feel like that's very much the feminine, right? Like it's like, you know, we're all coming to raise the children together. We're all coming to, you know, plant the garden together. There's like a level of that collective that is allows for the depth of feeling that on my own, it's like the same way that we say like, let the earth take it when we're moving through something. Well, let your sisters take it. Like mm-hmm. let them be there for you. Let them like hold you. Let's heal this like bullshit gossip, like stab each other in the back, you know, competitive masculine viewpoint of how to be women together. Mm-hmm. And let's actually have each other's backs. Like we have been, you know, in this dynamic in our friendship. Mm-hmm. It's so sacred. I've been able to go to depths of myself that I've never felt safe enough really to go before.
Yes.
Right?
Because before it was, well, I'm being too much.
Yeah.
Right? If I share this, oh man, I'm too much. They're not going to want to be my friend. I'm not fun. I'm not cool. Whatever.
If I don't have it all together, I won't be respected. They won't want to like...
They won't take me seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my humanness, that's probably wrong. I need to uphold this image. And then when you can actually be in community and like be sharing those depths with people and have it be received and be safe, I feel the same. I feel like I've been able to grow and like catapult really into kind of this expression of self that I am now because I've had people who have my back the whole time, you know?
And there's a level of like beauty that is being kind of domino ripple affected in my husband. Like Ben is shifting in the mirror of my shift in my relationship, that I have this community that I can lean on so deeply that he doesn't have to hold all of me all the time.
He doesn't
and
have to
he has
everything.
More freedom
yeah.
and space for himself, which the masculine loves, right?
Yes.
That space.
Yes.
And, you know, he's really getting a lot out of it as well. And the powerful thing that I witness is our partnership is stronger. You know, our ability to communicate is much clearer because there's not all this like a projection and angst in between us, because I process that and I work that through quite a bit in circle.
Yeah.
I clean my slate.
Yes.
I can show up to my daughter as I am present and show up to my partner and be available to him fully. And I feel like it's a gift. And then on top of it, I make better choices as a citizen. You know, I am really fascinated by how much, you know, farmers markets and growing my own garden are a regular part of how I function now. And these things that I've always wanted to do, mm-hmm. but for some reason I didn't have that like anchoring that our group, that our community is offering. And I'm just like so excited about this exploration that we're going to do in the fall and build that collective of women coming together to feel these feelings, mm-hmm. to be witnessed within it, to be loved and supported, so that we can access the fuller side of our joy, mm-hmm. and like really become the intuitive beings that we are, innately tapping back into the rhythms of the seasons, flowing more with our natural world, being in harmony in a way that we make our choices that considers not just ourselves, but 7 generations from now and other species and people in other countries and from other backgrounds, that wholeness that we can hold with this support. It gets me so pumped.
Oh my God.
All the feels, right?
I get so stoked on it because I just see my own transformation from being in such a safe space and community and seeing that exactly as I am is accepted, and also being held higher, right? Being held to a point of being able to grow in a direction I want to grow in because I have that safe space. And I think that especially right now, a lot of us are inherently feeling unsafe. Well, let's find community to feel safer and to be able to really come into ourselves so that we can access that wisdom, access those gifts, access that intuition, and serve from that full well and change the world.
Yeah, through this beautiful lens of our interconnectedness, we're free.
Yeah.
We're able to really acknowledge all parts of ourselves, which are interconnected, which are tied together, mm-hmm. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening and for showing up. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation, and we will chat soon.